We're going to turn in the scriptures now to Numbers and chapter 19 as we continue in our serial readings through the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 19. And we are going to read verses 1 through 22, the whole chapter, Numbers 19, verses 1 through 22. And God's people, these are the words of God. They are inerrant, infallible, and good for us. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord has commanded, saying, speak to the children of Israel, that they bring you a red heifer without blemish, in which there is no defect, and on which a yoke has never come. You shall give it to Eleazar the priest, that he may take it outside the camp, and it shall be slaughtered before him. And Eleazar the priest shall take some of its blood with his finger, and sprinkle some of its blood seven times directly in front of the tabernacle of meeting. Then the heifer shall be burned in his sight. Its hide, its flesh, its blood, its offal shall be burned. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet, and cast them into the midst of the fire, burning the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes. He shall bathe in the water, and afterward he shall come up into the camp. The priest shall be unclean until evening. And the one who burns it shall wash his clothes in water, bathe in water, and shall be unclean until evening. Then a man who is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and store them outside the camp in a clean place. And they shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for the water of purification. It is for purifying from sin. And the one who gathers the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. It shall be a statute forever to the children of Israel and to the stranger who dwells among them. He who touches the dead body of anyone shall be unclean 7 days. He shall purify himself with the water on the third day, and on the seventh day, then he will be clean. But if he does not purify himself on the third day, and on the seventh day he will not be clean. Whoever touches the body of anyone who has died and does not purify himself defiles the tabernacle of the Lord. That person shall be cut off from Israel. He shall be unclean, because the water of purification was not sprinkled on him. His uncleanness is still on him. This is the law when a man dies in a tent. All who come into the tent and all who are in the tent shall be unclean 7 days. And every open vessel which has no cover fastened on it is unclean. Whoever in the open field touches one who is slain by a sword, or who has died, or a bone of a man, or a grave, shall be unclean 7 days. And for an unclean person, they shall take some of the ashes of the heifer burnt for the purification from sin, and running water shall be put on them in a vessel. A clean person shall take hyssop, dip it in the water, sprinkle it on the tent and all the vessels, and on the persons who were there, or on the one who touched a bone, the slain, the dead, or a grave. The clean person shall sprinkle the unclean on the third day and on the seventh day. And on the seventh day he shall purify himself, wash his clothes, and bathe in water, and at evening he shall be clean. But the man who is unclean and does not purify himself, that person shall be cut off from among the assembly, because he has defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. The water of purification has not been sprinkled on him. He is unclean. It shall be a perpetual statute for them. He who sprinkles the water of purification shall wash his clothes, and he who touches the water of purification shall be unclean until evening. Whatever the unclean person touches shall be unclean, and the person who touches it shall be unclean until evening." And those are the words of the living and true God. And because the people of God had complained, if you remember, against the strictness of the law of God, which commanded them to not come close to the Lord's presence a few chapters ago, they are here directed to purify themselves. And then also, when they're unclean, they are to purify themselves in these ways, as the Lord commands here, without fear of judgment. In verses 1 through 10, it shows the method in which the ashes of the red heifer were to be prepared, showing forth this picture of the sprinkling of it that the blood of Jesus Christ alone may cleanse us from our sins if we turn to Him as our Savior. And it is that sacrament of the Lord's Supper and the cup of wine that shows forth His blood here that appeases the Lord. And we remember that even as it says here, that those that if they do not get this blood of the purification, and if the priest does not do this, that he is unclean and he shall be cut off from among his people, which means excommunicated. And we remember from this Hebrews 9, which says, "Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he, Christ, entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats," and here's the key point from this chapter, "and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" And then a method of purification in verses 11 to 16. "The ashes, which are mixed with the water of purification when a person came in contact with the dead body or something unclean, became ceremonially unclean and defiled." In verses 17 through 22, we see the actual instruction of mixing the ashes with the water and the application of it. Verse 18, "A clean person would take the hyssop," that is some form of a plant that we don't know what that is, but some form of a plant that would hold on to a liquid or soak up that liquid, which when then could be used by the priest to sprinkle the blood in the first case, the first half of the chapter, and then here the water mixed with ashes in the second part. Not the hyssop was not used at the first part, but in the second part here, the water mixed with ashes, and sprinkling the tent and the vessels, the persons that were there who were unclean. Everybody who was unclean was to be sprinkled with this water with that was mixed with the ashes of a heifer, a sacrifice made. And this picture of that which is shown in baptism. Here it's seen the sprinkling of it on the persons who were unclean. The fact is, for all of us apart from Christ, that we're all unclean. And we need to be sprinkled with the water of purification to be cleansed of our sin. Well, what is the water of purification? It is not the water we use in baptism. Right. The water of purification is the water that poured from Christ's side. We need His death for us, and that's what's shown forth. And because of the death of Christ, it was not only the blood that poured forth from His side, but it was the water too. The blood symbolizing the Lord's Supper, what's shown in the Lord's Supper, but the water of cleansing that poured forth from His side, showing forth in the water baptism, in that mode that we think of sometimes of sprinkling in baptism. And here in Numbers, as the priest sprinkled it on the people who were unclean, so we have this picture in the water baptism of the water being sprinkled or pouring forth, cleansing us of our sin. And that is not what cleanses us. It's not the water, but it's the water from Jesus. It is Christ Himself and His body and blood and His water even coming forth from His side. And so Matthew Henry, to give clarity to this, concerning both parts of Numbers 19 in the blood and the water, he says this: "They signified the two great ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper, by which those benefits are represented, sealed, and applied to believers. They both owe their institution and efficacy to Christ. It is not the water in the font, that is water baptism, that will be to us the washing of regeneration, but the water out of the side of Christ. Not the blood of the grape that will pacify the conscience and refresh the soul, but the blood out of the side of Christ. Now was the rock smitten," 1 Corinthians 10:4. "Now was the fountain opened," Zechariah 13:1. "Now were the wells of salvation digged," Isaiah 12:3. "Here is the river, the streams whereof make glad the city of our God." And so just as they were pointed here, we need to come to Christ and believe on His name that He died and He sacrificed Himself, not only in His body, but also His blood and the water that showed forth. Let's pray. our God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you praise today for your Son, for the gospel, for his death on the cross, even for his perfect life and in his death, but then that he rose and now seated at the right hand of you, the Father, in heaven. Father, we give you praise that we have the good news preached to us Lord's Day after Lord's Day, and that you have reminded us again and again and again, because we are so weak and we are forgetful, just like Israel was in the wilderness and as they were in their time in Canaan. We are often forgetting your promises. We are often forgetting the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins. And that's why we have Romans that we're going to hear in a little bit, Romans 8, and the assurances that we have in Christ alone. Father, we give you praise today that you've raised up the church. You've grown the church. You're growing your kingdom throughout the world today. We've heard a little bit this morning about Pakistan and what you're doing there. We give you praise that you are growing your church there. And we pray that you will continue doing that work and be with Elia and his father and their church there, and that they would be, that you would use them as weak instruments as they are, that you would use them to plant more churches, that you would raise up more disciples to be discipled, and that you would even continue to grow, and that you would put to an end such wicked religion and idolatry that exists there, just as it does here. And that you would grow your kingdom to the ends of the earth. The same we pray here, that you would grow the church here, grow our congregation, but grow the church throughout this nation, especially those that preach your word faithfully and teach it, that those who are in great error, that you would turn from their sin and their foolishness, and you would turn them back to the truth. And Father, that those who lead people astray throughout all the world, and who are wolves in sheep's clothing, Father, we ask that you would put them down, and you would end their ministries and their false teachings and prophecies. And Father, we ask that you would, if it be your will, turn them to yourself. But Father, if it not be your will, that you would save them from their sins, that you would judge them justly at the right time and end their speaking. Shut their mouths as you are able to do. And then, Father, we do pray also for those persecuted throughout the world, in China and Pakistan, many in Africa, throughout that continent, and throughout the world. Even here, Father, there is persecution and suffering, because we know that if we are heirs of God, we will be persecuted. And if we are your children, adopted into your family and in union with Jesus Christ, we will suffer together with Christ and be glorified, thankfully, together with him. And so, Father, we ask that you would strengthen your church throughout the world as we suffer, we are persecuted in any way. Father, we ask that you would strengthen us for this, but also that you would remind us of the great assurances that we will be, no matter if we suffer, we will be glorified together with Christ, and that you will bless your people. Father, we also, as we consider the passage we just read, Father, we have sinned against you. We have broken all of your commandments in thought, word, and deed. And we have not loved you as we ought in our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we have not loved our neighbor as ourself. We have, when we ought to be bold, we have cowered in fear to man. And when we ought to speak the truth in love, we often are found shutting our mouths. Father, we often, when we are to help someone or forgive someone, we have often been doing the opposite. And so, Father, we ask in all these things that you would forgive us of our sins, that you would put that deep grieving in our hearts, that we would feel it and sorrow over our sins because we have sinned against you, the Holy Holy, holy Lord God Almighty. And you are the God who gave your Son. You delivered up your Son for us. And so, Father, may it grieve us when we sin against you. And may you be faithful and just to forgive us as we confess our sins now. Father, we We know that you are a merciful God in Christ Jesus, and you promise that you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, to cleanse us as far as the east is from the west, and purify us with the true water of purification from Christ alone, your Son, through his sacrifice. And so, Father, do so today. And we know you will, because you are the God who's faithful to your promises. Father, we continue grieving with Russ and his family. We ask that you would continue comforting him in this loss of his mother, and continue to build him up and give him opportunities, and others in his family, opportunities to share the gospel with those who may not know you, that they have met and seen again in that funeral that they had this past week. And we ask for the gospel to be a blessing and a reminder of the great comfort we have in Christ Jesus to him, that we would also grieve with him. And Father, we also praise you for each family here that you are growing in Christ. And Father, if there are any here who don't know you, we pray that you would turn them to yourself today, that this would be the day of salvation for them, and the many angels would rejoice in heaven over the one who repents more than the 99 righteous. Father, we ask that you would also continue to intercede for us through your Son, that he would continue loving us, and that you would continue receiving us through him and him alone. Father, we ask for our bodies that are weak, that you would strengthen them to serve you, that you would strengthen those especially who are in a great deal of pain or struggle in their bodies, and who have been in a struggle for a long time. Father, heal their bodies, if it be your will, and we know it is at the right time. And so, Father, we pray in faith, and we pray knowing that you will keep your promises, and you will heal, and you will heal our souls, and remove all sin from us, and there will be no more sin, and no more pain, no more tears. And so, Father, we ask that you would grant to us these things, and build us up as the church throughout the world. And we pray for the growth of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, your Son. We pray in his name. Amen.